So I guess what I could do is put some music on while we're doing all this business, which is what... All right, let me put on something that you don't hear all that often, but why not? Let's see, we'll do... All right, let's do... Right. Manic depression. Who can say it better than Jimi Hendrix? Okay, so this is something from Israel 365 Inspiration. And the title is, Are We Fighting the War of Gog and Magog? What is that? So let's see. This is an article by Shira Schechter. And did I say this is the voicemobile here at Tufts University? I'm your host, Joyce the Voice. Happy to be here with you. It's chilly out there. It's about 20 degrees cooler than it was yesterday, but it's still a pleasant day. It's not bitter cold. It's just you want to have a coat and maybe gloves and a hat and a scarf, yeah? Okay, so it's good to get those things out and ready. Okay, so here's this article. Are we fighting the war of Gog and Magog? Let's see if we can figure out and make some sense of this. We are living in prophetic times. For close to 2,000 years, prophecies predicting the return of the Jewish people to the land of Israel were but a dream. But in 1948, the Jewish homeland in the land of Israel was reestablished. Israel has a thriving economy, and Jews from all four corners of the earth have returned to the land, fulfilling biblical prophecies of the return of the exiles. The prophetic war of Gog and Magog, described in Ezekiel 38-39, has captivated the imaginations of many over the centuries. This biblically foretold battle envisions Gog from the land of Magog and a coalition of nations rising against Israel at a time when the Jewish people have returned from exile and are living in their land in peace and security. It predicts an immense battle that will culminate in God's victory over the forces of Gog, followed by a worldwide acceptance of God's supreme authority. It ends with a divine promise that God will never again hide his face from Israel, and instead will pour his Holy Spirit upon his chosen nation. The war of Gog and Magog has come to be understood as essential to the Jewish vision of the end of days, a final battle between good and evil that will usher in a period of eternal peace. As Maimonides writes, the simple interpretation of the prophet's words appear to imply that the war of Gog and Magog will take place at the beginning of the Messianic Age. Is the current war between Israel and Hamas a fulfillment of biblical prophecy as well? Is it the biblically predicted war of Gog and Magog? So there's more. Let's see what they say. Fascinating. Okay, so the unprovoked barbaric assault by Hamas on October 7th mirrors the initial stages of the war of Gog and Magog described in Ezekiel, an attack on Israel at a time when she has returned from exile and is settled peacefully in her homeland. Ezekiel's vision is of an enemy who invades Israel out of sheer malice, seeing Israel's prosperity as a provocation. God assures the destruction of these aggressors, leading to the sanctification of his name throughout the world. Similarly, Hamas's attack was provoked simply by Israel's existence. They cannot bear to see Israel prosper. They are willing to risk everything to see her fall. Despite Israel's desire for peace, Israel is fighting a battle of good versus evil. And as God promises in the Bible, he will not allow for Israel's destruction. Furthermore, Iran's support for Hamas brings to mind biblical Persia's alliance with Gog in Ezekiel 38:5. Although some of the other nations specified in the prophecy do not seem to be playing a role in the current conflict, such as Kush, Ethiopia, and Targumon, according to some Germany. Moreover, the sages say that the war of Gog and Magog will begin in the Hebrew month of Tishrei, specifically the last day of the holiday of Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles, known as Hoshanah Rabbah. The current war began on the following day. Is the current war with Hamas the war of Gog and Magog? We cannot say for sure. It certainly has echoes of the biblical narrative, although it does not fit the biblical description in all of its detail. But while it might not precisely match every detail of the physical battle fought in the prophecy in Ezekiel, it does bring into focus how the spiritual battle of Gog and Magog can be fought in the present day. Oops, come back. Oh dear. Not only is the War of Gog and Magog supposed to begin on Sukkot, but we read the chapters in Ezekiel describing the War of Gog and Magog every year on the holiday. Rabbi Shimshon Raphael Hirsch explains the connection between the festival of Sukkot and the War of Gog and Magog. The name Gog is related to the Hebrew word gag, meaning roof. Roof, Gog represents the roof, a symbol of man's false sense of independence from God. In contrast, the sukkah, the temporary dwelling lived in on the holiday of Sukkot, symbolizes our dependence on God. We leave our sturdy homes and dwell in flimsy huts to remember that God is the one who protects us. He runs the world, and we are dependent on Him. Thus, Gog symbolizes the rejection of divine authority, while the Jewish observance represents the acknowledgement of divine dependence. This is a spiritual struggle underpinning the physical battle of Gog and Magog. And this is why the victory over Gog will be followed by a universal recognition of the God of Israel. What can we do? The sages teach us that the Messiah will appear either at a predetermined time or sooner if merited. Consequently, the physical war of Gog and Magog is not the only scenario for the arrival of the Messianic. If we do things right, we won't need the war of Gog and Magog and the devastation that comes with it at all. But the spiritual battle must be fought for the Messiah to come. What can we do? As we explain, the arrival of the Messianic era will follow the victory of those who recognize God's sovereignty in this world over those who deny it. Therefore, we can speed up the coming of the Messiah and potentially avoid the terrible events of Gog and Magog by standing against those who reject God and supporting those who believe in Him. If we are successful at making God's sovereignty known in the world and winning the spiritual war of Gog and Magog, we might even be able to avert the devastation of the war of Gog and Magog predicted by the prophets by making the physical battle unnecessary. The current conflict, with its echoes of the biblical narrative, invites both reflection and action. While it might not correspond exactly with Ezekiel's vision, it certainly illustrates how the battle of Gog and Magog can manifest in today's world. And it reminds us that by supporting Israel, standing up and speaking out against evil, and promoting recognition of God, we can help win the battle and pave the way toward peace in the Messianic era. Only time will tell if the current Israel-Hamas war is the biblical war of Gog and Magog. In the meantime, it is our job to make sure we are on the right side of the conflict and do what we can to ensure that this will be the final war fought before Mashiach arrives. Wow, that's pretty interesting. This is from a website called Israel 365, so 365 a day, inspiration. And it was an article written by Shira Schechter. All right, so a little food for thought there. So, Ich stund
Bye. Respond. Respondemos, o Padre piadoso y gracioso.
Face illumined with heavenly light. With this she envelops her holy people on earth. Each one is enriched with an added soul, an added soul which enters the soul of each as they gather to chant the prayer to welcome Queen Sabbath, with joy illuminating their faces.
Oh, What good am I if I'm like all the rest? If I just turn away when I see how you're dressed? If I shut myself off so I can't hear you cry? If I see and don't say, if I look right through you, if I turn a deaf ear to the thunder in the sky,
thank you. يا بو
the amazing Shlomo Bar singing and playing drums and flute. Also on that CD, which is called Barefoot, Mezulelet was the song. And there was Samson Kamikar on violin, Menashe Sasson on santur, Ilan Ben-Ami on acoustic guitar, Gumbush and oud, Naor Karmi on bass and contrabass, Moshe Meliankar on dolki, an Indian drum. And there were also guest players on this CD. Albert Piamenta on saxophone, Avi Singola on electric guitar, and Albert Vasanin Bandir on Moroccan drum. It's a wonderful CD. And it's called Habrera HaTivit is the name of the group. Okay, you're listening to WMFO at Tufts University. This is The Voicemobile. I'm your host, Joyce the Voice. So let's see. Before that, Bob Dylan, What Good Am I? From his Oh Mercy CD on Columbia. Wally Brill from The Covenant, The Secret of the Sabbath. Before that, Boston Camerata with Joel Cohn, Respondimos, Dio de Avraham, Chant de España Mystique. And the tenor on that was John Flegel. And it's from a CD called The Sacred Bridge. And Andy Statman before that, Merciful One, Answer Us, from a CD called Awakening from Above. And Vorspiel, the CD is called, and the song was Papier. I think that's where we are at. And so now we're going to hear something from Itzhak Perlman, Cantor Itzhak Meir Helfgott, Eternal Echoes.
Wir gehen, du, une wichtel du rak du nor du vider du ober du 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 izay metzen gi
Wonderful, wonderful, incredible pipes. That's Itzhak Perlman and cantor Itzhak Meir Hefgott on the Eternal Echoes with their orchestra, and also the Klezmer Conservatory Band, Dudula, song to you, and the release is called Eternal Echoes on Sony Classics. Yes, absolutely gorgeous. All right, I want to share with you something from this great book, Holy Brother, Inspiring Stories and Enchanted Tales about Rabbi Shlomo Carlbach by Yitte Halberstam Mandelbaum. And I just mentioned that it's WMFO Medford. You're listening to The Voice Mobile. I'm your host, Joyce the Voice. Okay, so it's a little excerpt. After Shlomo Carlbach gave a concert in Efrat, Israel, one night, he was accosted by Rabbi Dr. Abraham Tursky, who bears the unusual distinction of being the only Hasidic psychiatrist in the world. Shlomila, the psychiatrist, shook his finger accusingly at Rabbi Carlbach. Those melodies you sing, you know, they're not yours. Shlomo, who was known as the father of contemporary Jewish music, and had, in fact, composed thousands of original Jewish songs during his lifetime, responded with a startled look. What do you mean they're not mine? Rabbi Dr. Tursky answered, during the period of the First and Second Temples, Levim, high priests, were known for the exquisite, spiritually uplifting melodies they composed. They were said to be so moving and extraordinary that whoever heard them was elevated to a different realm. After both temples were destroyed, the melodies vanished. It was all very mysterious. No one could retrieve them, and no one could remember them. They were hopelessly lost. Together with the Jewish nation, they had gone into exile, and no longer Could the Jewish people uplift themselves spiritually through song? No, Shlomila. Whenever I hear your compositions, I cannot help but recognize the truth. Those melodies are not yours. They belong to the Levium of the temple. God is bringing them back to the Jewish people through you. Your melodies are so spiritually rich and exalted. What other explanation could there possibly be? So beautifully said. All right.